Amen. Again, like Pastor Robert was indicating through this, this isn't just, you know, to prosper so that you just have more for your store and your four. This is so you got more than enough to be able to bless others. How many of you ever had somebody come across your path that maybe their car wasn't able to be used anymore, or they were kicked out of a home? Wouldn't it have been nice just to be able to write them a check for a whole brand new automobile or a new house or something like that? I believe sometimes God wants to do a lot of those things in our life so that we can be the source and channel of His goodness in people's lives. Amen. But you got to believe these things, and you got to trust the Lord for them to be coming to pass in your life, which is along the lines of something that I want to share with you this morning. I'd actually had a message prepared, but yesterday I really felt like the Lord wanted me to do something similar that I did on Tuesday evening. Now, if you don't know what I do on Tuesday evening, we do a pastor study video every week, to where just from my office, sometimes Pastor Robert does it from his office, that we just have a little live video on Facebook, and you know, we just talk about whatever the Lord puts on our heart to do. And this past Tuesday, I shared with the group a very practical message of some wise things that I have learned personally and I've seen in others do to set the year on the right trajectory and the right course. What are some things that you and I can do to intentionally and deliberately press into this goodness of God right here in the land of the living? Amen? I believe there's some things that we can do to make fruit come forth in our life. And this is going in lines with what Pastor Robert was just saying, but how many of you have ever woken up and just looked out your back window, maybe looked at your yard or your garden, and you really hadn't been cultivating the ground, you haven't been planting any seed, and there's not really, you haven't been tending it, you've certainly not been hedging and cutting back things. And in the midst of not doing anything, how many of you looked out your back window and were pleasantly surprised to see roses, watermelon, tomatoes, and all kinds of desirable vegetation and fruit automatically growing up in your yard? It just doesn't happen, does it? But guess what? Something else is going to grow. All the things that are undesirable, the thorns, the weeds, and all the stuff that we don't want growing up in our yard, it grows automatically. And I believe the Lord shows us through that example that good fruit comes deliberately. Bad fruit comes naturally. So in order to have good fruit in our life, there's certain things that we have to apply. There's certain things we have to do to make sure that good fruit is. And one of the things is, you got to sow the seed of the specific kind of fruit. Amen? So there's a lot of good lessons that we're going to learn, and I believe we're going to share this morning some of the ways in which we can deliberately set ourselves on a course to where we can plant some good seed. So this will be really good. I'm going to entitle today's message, First Things on the First. Not First Things First, but First Things on the First. In other words, what are some things that we should make priority, some things that we should prioritize in our life to do beginning today in order to have the kind of year God says that we can have? You interested in learning how to do this? Now, I believe that a lot of people try to do this. The world has what they call New Year's resolutions. But I'm going to show you some ways today how not to make another New Year's resolution casualty, to where you intend to do something and then you fall away. There's some things I believe we can do to make sure it comes to pass. So the first thing I want to talk to you about, of course, is God is a God of new beginnings. Amen. If you study the Word and you look at the nature of God, you'll see that one thing that God absolutely is all about is making all things new and starting things good and very good. We see it in the beginning of Genesis, don't we? God creates everything and all of the things He said. It's good, it's good, it's good, it is very good. And then even at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, He said to do the same thing again, to restore the garden to us and the perfection of creation. He said, I will make all things new. So God is all about recreating, giving life to dead things. Amen. This is who He is. All the people He raised from the dead, all the new things that He created. This is what God has the heart to do in your life in 2023, to make all things new. So the first thing that we do to intentionally press into these new things is you need to reflect on 2022. You need to reflect on the prior year. Now, when I talk about reflecting, I need to basically give a prerequisite to this. I am not talking about looking in the past and feeling condemned and guilty and bad about all the things that didn't go good or the poor choices we made. I'm not talking about groveling in those things, but I do think that there is an aspect of wisdom in looking back and learning from your triumphs and your mistakes. Looking at what were choices you made, what were things you did that maybe propelled you in the wrong direction or in the right direction. Amen? I think this is just wisdom, and if you've listened to me for any period of time, you will see that I'm a big advocate of getting wisdom from God. Amen? Wisdom is, in my opinion, one of the most underestimated, devalued virtues that we can have of God. It is. I mean, when you compare the reward for this virtue versus how much people really desire it, the only argument you could make of anything that's better than wisdom would probably be humility. But I would put wisdom right up there, because when you study the Bible, you find that wisdom, which is this ability to look back in the past and look into the future and make decisions accordingly, wisdom comes with riches and honor, blessing and increase, healing. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that comes with wisdom. So a lot of times when I'm counseling people and I talk to them that might be having money problems or something like that, I'll essentially tell them in a nice, kind way, you don't have a money problem, you have a wisdom problem. Because the Bible teaches us with wisdom comes these things. Amen? And this is one thing I think it's really important for us to get, because I think a lot of times we're seeking something that we have need of in our life that we maybe have lack in. Maybe we're dealing with physical pain or sickness or disease, or we're finding issues like that. But I think a lot of times the Lord would say, man, you need to be, wisdom is really the main thing you need. In fact, the second wisest man that ever lived on this planet, Solomon, Jesus being the first, knew what to ask for when the Lord said, one thing, what do you want? I mean, he could have asked for all the things that most of us would have asked for. Health, long life, riches, all these different things. But he said, no, Lord, I need wisdom to rule over these people. And the Lord said, because you didn't ask for these other things, but you asked for this, which was essentially him seeking first the kingdom of God, all these other things would be added to him. Sounds like that should have been in the Bible somewhere, doesn't it? But he fulfilled the principle because he was seeking the right thing. I believe if we seek wisdom, it solves a lot of different problems. And I love what the Lord told us to do about wisdom. He said, get it. Get it. And what I always think of when I see that, I think of that mother that prepares that nice home-cooked meal, and the kids are maybe out playing in the yard or working in the field, and she comes to the door and opens it, and what does she say? Come and get it. And I see the Lord doing that with us today, that the Lord is crying out to us and saying, I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You got healing on there. You got life on there. You got prosperity on there. You got everything that pertains to life and godliness on this here spread. Now, come and get it. Now, if the kids just sit out there and just act like a fool and decide not to come in and partake of the dinner, whose fault is it? It ain't mama's. It's them kids. Let's not be like those kids. Let's respond. When the Lord says, I've got this table spread for you, let's say, Lord, I will sit there and eat at the table of your pleasures forevermore. So this wisdom aspect involves, and I think this is one of the primary characteristics of wisdom, is that you are more farsighted than nearsighted. Now, somebody that's nearsighted does what? They can see things up close really good, but they don't see things at a distance really good. But a farsighted person sees things at a distance better, and a wise person absolutely sees things at a distance very clearly. Because this person now is not just thinking about the way I feel today or what's convenient for me today or what I'd like to splurge on today. A wise person says, you know what? Let me look in the distance. How is my choices today going to impact my future? But it also involves how have my choices in the past affected my future, and then learn from those things and make the better decisions. How many of you made some good decisions in 2022? Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand and say you made all good decisions, because I doubt there's anybody here today. And if you raise your hand for that, then we'll pray for you after the service for being a liar. You know where liars go, don't you? The White House. That's exactly where they go. So you don't want to go there. I'm so happy. I got like 10 laughs out of one joke. You know, you understand, I only have usually Pastor Robert and my wife laugh at my jokes. We're starting this year off right. Praise God. So the first thing you got to do is reflect. Think about your decisions, your choices, things that went good, and why did they go good? But think about the bad things. Again, not to feel guilty about them or bad about them, but think of the things that, you know what, I made some poor choices or I had some negative things happen. Look before that and say, what was the pattern that set me on that trajectory? Learn from it and then make some better decisions. So that's the first one. Reflect on 2022. Number two, and I like this one, make goals. You got to make goals for this coming year. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be the first person to tell you this isn't a natural thing for me, and I think that there are some things that we really need to understand about making goals, because I think the problem is, a lot of times, why goals fall flat that we set at the beginning of the year is this: because we made them independent of God. See, I think a wise thing to do is to find out what God's goals for us are. Amen? Because that's where the blessing is. It's not in me doing my own thing and asking God to bless it. I'm going to tell you what I never do. I never get up to preach and say, Lord, please bless this message today. You know why? Because I've learned that in order for the message to be blessed, I find out what He tells me the message is. Preached what He tells me to, and I don't have to ask God to anoint it. It will be anointed. Amen? It's that way in everything, not just preaching. Everything we do, all of our goals, our aspirations, the plans we make, we need to get with the Lord and let the Lord show us what His goal is for us. Now, when I think about what the Lord's goal is for us, there are some things that are uniform. There are some things that are collective, general things that the Lord would lead all of us to do. And one of the things that I think of is in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33, that one where I said that would be a good verse to be in the Bible. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, all the things He's talking about being added to them were all the things they were worried about. What I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, natural provision in our life. The Lord was essentially saying, don't seek after those things. You don't have to work harder. He's inviting us to do this. I heard this in the business world. You don't need to work harder, you need to work smarter. What does that mean? It means it's not just about busting my tail to try to bring increase. You can sit there and work hours upon hours upon hours to try to gain something in your life, and you might be successful and you might not. But I believe if you'll do what the Lord tells you to do, He could probably make you get to the end in a fraction of the amount of time that it took you to do there in the flesh. Wouldn't that be a wise thing to do? Is find out, Lord, what do You want me to do today? I think it was Martin Luther that was coined as making this statement. He said, I have so much to do today, I think I'll spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Did you hear that? I have so much to do today, I think I'll spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Now, most people would think, no, man, you need to use some of that time to do all the things you got to do. But what he had learned was, if I put God first, say first, you put God first and you seek His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of being and doing right first in your life, then all the other things will be added to you. Like the God promises us in Proverbs that He will do what? Give you a long life. But I love some of the other terminology that He promises that wisdom will give you. He says, I'll multiply your days. I'll lengthen your days. You ever notice that? Now, is He just using synonymous terms to describe you'll just live longer? Or is He being strategic in telling you that wisdom doesn't just make you live longer, it'll make your days expand? It'll make you more productive. It'll almost kind of be like you get more accomplished in a short period of time. That's what wisdom will do for you. And I've experienced that before. I will tell you, it was like my day became like the loaves and the fishes. Multiplied in the basket. Amen. Because why? I was seeking first the kingdom of God on that day. I was putting Him first. And God was helping me to be ultra productive in my life. That's what making my goals, God's goals, making my goals, this is what it produces in my life. So you seek the Lord out and say, Lord, what is your goals for me? You get with Him and you say, God, I want you to tell me what I need to be seeking first in my life. And I know it revolves around the kingdom of God. Amen. Which that can mean a whole lot of things, but I'll tell you what some of the things mean. Essentially, His kingdom is His business. You remember when Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem and His parents came and found Him? And what did He say when they were looking? Didn't you know we were looking for you, son? And what did He say? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? So a good question will be is, Lord, what is your business? And how am I seeking that first in my life? Now, I'm excited about this because one of the things that we're going to be talking about in this first quarter of this year is one of the main things that His kingdom revolves around. And you know what it is? Personal evangelism and witnessing. We're going to learn, starting probably next week, how to be a witness in our life, how to share our testimony, how to evangelize people, because we got a big event coming up at the end of March to where we are called to share our faith with people, get them to this event, Hope for the Heart of Georgia, and bring a mass revival in this area, which is ultimately going to bless the kingdom of God first and this church as well. Amen? So we're going to learn how to do this, because not everybody feels comfortable doing that. Well, that's one of the things that is seeking the kingdom of God first. Why? Because what's one of the number one ways you could seek any kingdom first? By populating said kingdom. If I populate it, I get more people into it and more people on board with it. That's called evangelism and discipleship. Amen, which is what we're all called to do. And this is what the Lord wants our goals to revolve around. But He might be more specific with you and what your goals are. So get with the Lord and seek those goals. The next one is write the vision down. Get a vision for this year from the Lord and write it down. I got a scripture for you on this. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Don't turn over there. We'll be waiting 15 minutes for some of us to find that book of the Bible. But look at this. This is powerful. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Now, I believe there's a lot of wisdom to this. When it comes down to the vision that the Lord gives us for the upcoming year, I believe the first thing is important. You got to write it down. You know, I've had people come to me over the years impressed with my ability to remember Scripture, to be able to just spout off tons of verses. But you know what's interesting, and I want to share this with you. I'm not saying this to brag on myself, but to show you a practical lesson of how this works. I have never one time tried to memorize Scripture. You ever notice that that's what we did when we were in school? We memorized the answers. We memorized the information. Well, listen, do you still know that information? Are you still able to say it? Shoot, I don't remember a fraction of what I ever learned in school. Because why? There's a difference between your head memorizing something and your heart capturing something. And one of the ways I learned to have my heart capture the Word of God was to write it down. As I would write scriptures out or type them out, I'm assimilating them into me. They become a part of me. And that's why writing down things like notes on a message like this or whatever is very important, because there's something to be said for not you just audibly listening to something, but you writing something and looking at something at the same time. You're using three avenues of assimilating something than just the one of just sitting there and listening. Because if you just sit there and listen, most people don't have the memory capacity or whatever to really retain it. But if you use all three of them, you're looking at it with your eyes, you're listening to it with your ears, and you're writing it, you're positioning yourself times three to get those truths on the inside of you. Amen. So that's a really good piece of information. Write the vision. Write it down. So what the Lord gives you, write it down. And look at this. And make it plain on tablets. Look at this. The Lord was well ahead of His time. He told you to use your tablet, your iPad, or whatever it is you had. He said, make it plain, where? On the tablets. So write it on there. Type it in there. You know, I mean, I use those things all the time. I use those little note apps and these little other things, these little free apps that I have to record information and write things down so that I have them and they're accessible to me at all times. Why? So that I can keep it before me constantly. And making it plain is very important, which is what? Make it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Some things are just simple. You just need to put them down in just a few words so that it's clear to you and it's not something that's going to be laborious to try to read the whole thing again. Right? But look at the benefit. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Now, what does this mean? It means that then when you go back and you read these things that have been written down and recorded on these tablets, then what is it going to do? It's going to motivate you. It's going to make you run and not grow weary. It's going to make you do more than just this sluggish, lethargic thing that we tend to do of just not really getting too excited about the thing. No, if I've got it down there, then I read it and I'm constantly letting my eyes behold it, it will motivate me. It will stir me up to look at these truths. And the Bible teaches us you got to stir yourself up. You got to stir the gift up on the inside of you. And if he told a pastor that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, I can guarantee you everybody in this place needs to know how to do that. Because things can just become stagnant. Things can be in there, but they just settle down. Kind of like when something's poured into some water, you just leave it in there for a while, it's going to settle, right? You got to stir it up, baby. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to stir it up. Stir it up. Get it in there looking good, baby, and stir it up on the inside of you. And you need to encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. Encourage yourself in the things God's told you. You need to go dig up the prophecies made concerning you and wage a good warfare concerning them. Go back and revisit them. Get together with your spouse or your significant other or whatever it is and say, man, look at this. You remember when God told us this? And stir yourself up in the things God has said. God's not going to stir you up for you. You got to do it yourself. Amen? And it's going to motivate you as you keep those things before you. So getting the goals from the Lord, getting your vision for the year from the Lord, and write them down. Keep them before you. In fact, when it says that he may run who reads it, I think that's a good idea to put it down somewhere to where it's constantly in front of you and anybody else that looks at it too. Amen? So putting those things ever before you. The next point is this one, and I think this one's really important. Get a word from God for this year. get a word from God for 2023. Now, when I say a word, I'm talking about what we call here a rhema word. What's a rhema word? A rhema word is a spoken word, a word communicated to you from the Holy Spirit. You know, it says over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, when talking about the armor of God, he says, and take. Now, who's taking it? God? Is he taking it for you? No, he tells you to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. It's essentially talking to like a soldier who's got a sword in his sheath saying, take it and pull it out of that sheath. Now, it's a sword of the Spirit, meaning it's the sword that the Holy Spirit wields. Amen? But he's good enough to let you take it, come into communion with him, and pull those things out and use it. This is when the Lord helps you. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you helps you in things. You know, it says over in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Amen. You familiar with the scripture I'm talking about? You know what's interesting? The word that's used for helps there, which is a short little five-letter word, it's actually a triple compound word in the original language. Now, I know that just gives you goosebumps for me to say that. A triple compound word. It's the word sun antilambano. Sun, S-U-N, sometimes translated S-Y-N, means with. It denotes partnership. And then the next word is anti, which means what? To be against something. And then the last word, lambano, means to what? To take it. To take something. There you go again. So when you combine those three words together, it means to come into partnership with the Holy Spirit in being against something and taking something. Meaning what? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you to help you be against that weakness in your life and has given you all the equipment and the grace that enables you to come alongside of him to eradicate said weakness in your life. We got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help us in everything we do. From when we worship, from when we read the Word, from when we do everything. But I see so many of us not being aware of the Holy Spirit's presence when we do simple things like read the Word. When we do simple things like pray. When we're doing things like developing a goal or a vision. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that's on the earth with us today. And the good news is, he lives on the inside of you. And the better news is this, is that Jesus told us that he was going to give us, the Father was going to give us, another helper. Another helper. Now, have you ever asked that question? Another helper. Why would Jesus say another helper? Because Jesus is encouraging them and letting them know, I've been your helper. Jesus was the original Paracletos. He was there to help the disciples in a whole lot of stuff, right? And he's telling them, I'm about to leave you, so I'm going to have another helper. So you know what that means? The Holy Ghost is to you today what Jesus was to his disciples yesterday. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is to you today what Jesus was to his disciples 2,000 years ago. Isn't that awesome? How many of you, if I would have promised you today and said, man, I got something awesome to make available to you today, you're going to have your own personal Jesus to go everywhere with you this coming year. And you're like, yes, thank you. I'll have some of that. Jesus with me everywhere I go to help me in everything I do. But the thing I'm telling you today is, you've had it all along. But you got to utilize him. You got to invite him. You got to bring him into your life and commune with the Holy Spirit and let him bring you into this success. So when we're talking about getting a word from God, the Holy Spirit is the source of that word. So you get with the Lord and say, all right, God, we're going into a new year. We're starting this new year today. And so, Lord, I'm asking you today, give me a word for this year. Now, it might just be one word. It might be a few words. It might be a paragraph. I don't know necessarily how the Lord might speak it to you, but get something from the Lord that you can make it your mantra and you believe this is what God has spoken to me for this year, and you write it down, you keep it before you, and I've got a word from God. And then when you ask the Lord for a word, let me tell you what not to do. Lord, give me a word today. Please, Lord, would you give me a word? God, I would really like a word this year. And then hours pass, days pass, weeks pass. Lord, why won't you give me a word? Why am I not getting a word? And God's like, hello, open my word up. Search the scriptures, look through here, and let the Holy Spirit call something to come off your page. I was talking with Wendell. If you don't mind me sharing this, I don't think you would, but Wendell was telling me that he had applied, he began to apply me talking about this on Tuesday night, and he started asking the Lord for a word. It was really about reading the Bible. What do you want me to read? Instead of just reading his plan, his Bible reading plan, he asked the Lord, what do you want me to read? And he said, as clear as day, the Lord said, 1 and 2 Samuel. And he said when he went and started reading those first few chapters, he said he only got through chapter 9 or whatever it was in 1 Samuel, the Lord started speaking things to him out of that book of confirming the call of God on his life and different things that the Lord was wanting to say to him. And it just jumped off the page to him because why? He involved the Holy Spirit in his time reading the scriptures. He got a word from God. How many of you would like a word? Now, I know most of us, the word we would like, we would love for Pastor Trey to just stop in the middle of this message, call you up here, and give you a word. And he might do that. But I'm going to tell you, the awesome thing is, you ain't got to wait for somebody else to be the solution to give you that word. You can get in this word any day of the week, as much as you want, and have God just talk to you all day and all night, sharing with you the wonderful truths of the kingdom of heaven, and speak to you because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. Amen? So get a word for this year, something you can hang your hat on, something you can trust in and believe in, because getting a word from God is very important to anything you believe God for. If you are coming up here for healing, say on Thursday morning we do healing school, you know one of the main questions that me, Pastor Robert, and Minton will ask you? What scripture are you standing on for your healing? And don't just come out with some general thing of, well, I'll just trust in the Lord. I'm just trusting the Lord. You know, that's about 15 cents worth of nothing to just trust the Lord generally. God's a specific God, and He wants you to believe something specific. What are you trusting me for, says the Lord? What is it? What are you believing me for? And not be lazy of just, well, I'm just going to trust God to do whatever He wants to do in my life. No, let me go seek out what He wants to do. Don't be ignorant, but concerning what the will of the Lord is, know it. And go find out what He said to you. And then you take all of those promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And you begin to let the Lord know, thank you, Lord, that you promised to give me peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, that when my mind is stayed on you, you said you will keep me in perfect peace. The Lord loves, I'm telling you, He loves you to remind Him of His word. And the Bible says He hearkens to the voice of His word. He hearkens. He's listening for somebody to tell Him what He said. And that's the best way to pray. Amen? Lord, you said this, you said that. And you start throwing those things out there. Man, the Lord loves it. And that's what gets results in our lives. And finally, the last point that I want to make for today. The first thing was, reflect on 2022. Number two, make goals with the Lord's help. Number three, write the vision, make it plain. Number four, get a word from the Lord. Finally, and this is a very important one, and you might think this is, why would you even bring this up? But I'm just going to tell you, most Christians are not doing this. Read your Bible every day and pray every day. Don't let a day go by where you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying. Again, simple things, but few people do it. Have you ever noticed that when you set out a mission that I'm going to start praying, I'm going to get up, spend time with the Lord in the morning or whatever it is, you ever notice what happens? You start off pretty good, and man, you know it. I mean, I've done it before to where I was spending time in fellowship with the Lord because maybe I hadn't been doing it before then, and I started making a point to seek the Lord first with my day, and you know what? Boy, you sense the Lord's pleasure. You sense the Lord's presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. And you'll even say things like this, Lord, never let me forget how I feel right now. And guess what happens? You forget how you felt right then. And you stop doing it. And there's the easy way to digress from those things. So my point is, make it a point that I am going to pray every day. I'm going to fellowship with the Lord. And I'm not talking about asking the Lord for things. Spend time with Him, communing with Him. And second, read the Bible every day. Because I'm going to end with this. Go to Psalm 1. You know you got a wonderful, awesome promise in the Bible. I mean, I'm going to tell you, some of these things, you might have known they were in your Bible, but the way we live our lives, you'd think we were completely ignorant of them. Psalm 1 gives you a promise of how to absolutely prosper in everything you do. How many of you would like to prosper, which means to be successful, to flourish in every area of your life, in your relationships, finances, health? You all should be raising your hand. This is something that we all should desire. Well, did you know the Lord told you exactly how to do it? Look at this. Blessed is the man. Who wants to be a blessed man or a blessed woman? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So that's the first thing. Very important. Don't do things the way the world does. This is more than just sin. This is following the counsel of the world, the way the world does things. Far too many Christians and too much of the church have let the world creep into the church. Well, we do things the way the world does it and this and that. That's not what's going to cause blessing. But let me show you what does. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, that's their way of saying the Word of God, because they had just the law then. But his delight is in the Word of the Lord, the Word of God, and in His Word, He meditates day and night. Now, I know most people, they read that and they're like, you can't do that, Pastor Trey. Can't do what? You can't meditate on the Word day and night. Oh, I can prove to you can. How? By proving to you that worrying that you do day and night is the same thing as what's talking about meditating right here. Amen. If I'll learn to think on the Word of God, in fact, the Hebrew word that's used for meditate there means to mutter. The Jews had this practice that they would do in their religious times called davening. And you know what it was? They'd take their scriptures, they'd have the little book or whatever, and they'd rock back and forth while muttering the Torah. Oh, yes. He will take all sickness and disease away from the midst of me. He is the Lord who heals me. And they would speak it out of their mouth, and that to them was meditating. So meditating is not just a mental exercise. It is a vocal expression of the thing you're thinking about. Amen. Which is one of the reasons we have you meditate these blessings every Sunday morning. Because saying them and confessing them and putting them out there is another way in which... Because why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? You know that scripture? Well, what do you think is going to happen when you hear yourself speaking the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing. You know how it works? You understand you've got outward ears and inward ears. You know how I can prove it to you? Have you ever listened to yourself on a recording and been like, do I sound like that? Have you ever done that? You're like, is that what I really sound like? Why is it that when we hear ourselves talking from an outside source, we sound different than the way we sound to ourselves while we're talking. It's because, this is the reason why, because when we hear a recording of our voice, we're hearing with our outward ears that everybody else is hearing. But right now, you know what I'm hearing myself through? My inward ears. You've got outward ears, you've got inward ears. And I'm going to tell you something. Both sets of ears need to hear for faith to come. I keep quoting the scripture this morning about the Lord, our healer. You know what he says? Hearken to the voices. He says, be diligent to heed the voice of the word, the voice of the Lord, and to hear his word. And you know what's interesting? You go look it up. The word that's used in that verse that talks about hearing the word, it actually says this in the Hebrew. It uses the word for hearing, for diligently heed. That phrase, diligently heed the voice of the Lord. He uses the same word twice, which was a practice that was done by then to place emphasis, to not just heed something, but to diligently heed it. That's why they translate it that way. But what's interesting is it talks about hearing twice. Because why? Where you're going to start to receive the healing in your life is by hearing with both sets of ears. You start hearing it in here and out here, that sickness don't even stand a chance. Amen. And so when you're meditating on His Word, delighting in His Word day and night, look what the promise is. Time to finish this one off with a bang. Look at this promise. Verse 3 in Psalm 1. He who, the one that's delighting in the Word of God and the one that's meditating on His Word day and night, he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and, say it with me, whatever he does shall prosper. If I would just take that verse at face value and say, well, bless God, I need everything in my life to prosper. I desire this, so I need to start doing something. I'm going to start delighting in the Word. I'm going to start meditating on it day and night. I'm going to make the Word a priority in my life. One of the wisest things you can do in this coming year, I can guarantee you, if you do this, you read the Word, meditate on it, study it every day of your life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to bring forth some fruit in its season. Your leaves are not going to wither. You will prosper in everything you do. Why? Because you're planted by the rivers of living water where all blessings flow from Jehovah's awesome goodness and grace. Amen? Let's stand on our feet then. These are some things you and I can do to make sure we have a prosperous, awesome new year. Now, I'm encouraging you to do the same thing Wendell did this week. Apply it. Apply these truths to your life. Set yourself intentionally and deliberately on a new course for this year. And don't just expect it to go in the flow that you want it to without doing something. Amen. Like I said, don't be another New Year's resolution casualty. Do these things and you won't forget. Do these things and it will work. Do these things, you will keep yourself healthy and strong and prosper in all you do. Amen. Father, we thank you today for the Word made flesh that we have before us that teaches us all these wise principles and gives us all these things to help us in our everyday spiritual lives. Lord, we want to be spiritually fit. And while this is a day where people are starting to make plans and do different things to get themselves better physical shape, Lord, may we be a people that understands how to be spiritually fit and in shape. That we would apply these things to our life to make sure that we keep our inward man strong. Because we know what your promise is. That when you strengthen us with power in our inward man, the result is, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Lord, thank you for causing us to prosper in every area of our life for this new year. And I pray for every person under the sound of my voice today, give us a heart to receive and apply these wise principles, these first things on the first of the year, so we can be successful in all we do. We love you and we praise you for all that you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.